things just keep happening on the Department of the Interior and BLM front. And I'd like to talk first about what happened over the weekend quietly. David Bernhardt, who is the Secretary of the Interior, something called an ethics recusal expired. Can you talk about what that means?
In order to comply with government ethics standards, a recusal is something that prohibits a government employee from working closely with an entity that they used to work for. So in Secretary Bernhardt's case, he used to work for a very powerful Colorado-based lobbying firm and represented a number of special interests that are lobbying Interior, that have policy concessions they want to win from Interior. And there was a big list of some that he was not supposed to have consistent close contact with, particularly about the kinds of issues that he worked with them on when he was a lobbyist.
Did he really carry around a list of all the conflicts of interest he had?
Yeah, it was reported in the Washington Post that he had to carry around a list of all the conflicts of interest that he had with companies like these in order to remind himself who he could and couldn't talk to.
How long ago did he sign this recusal agreement?
So it would have been in the spring, summer of 2017 when he became deputy secretary.
So it was good for a couple of years, and it has now expired. What does that mean?
That means that he can now deal openly with many of these former groups and work with them on the same things that they together tried to get Interior to do when he was a lobbyist and they were paying him. And that calls into question the line, you know, in the revolving door. I mean, at what point does he stop working for the special interests? And what point does he start working for the American people? I think that line, to put it generously, has been blurred by, you know, Mr. Bernhardt and a number of other appointees in the Trump administration.
So what you're saying, Chris Sager, is that the Secretary of the Interior can now lobby for the special interest groups that he was lobbying for when he was in the private sector.
Yeah, in a manner of speaking, he certainly can. I mean, if, you know, a given oil company wanted Interior to loosen a particular regulation, now that this two-year period is up, David Bernhardt has free rein to help them with that. Even if it was something that they paid him to do before he got to the Department of Interior. And this is troubling because it really calls into question the extent to which he can forget about the amount of money that they paid him to do that work once upon a time, and that he can sort of force himself not to think about what he's going to do after he leaves the department, which, if stands to reason, would probably be a return to lobbying.
Well, you may be aware of the fact that Glenwood Springs, Colorado, is dealing with this proposed limestone quarry expansion, and the company that owns the mine, Rocky Mountain Resources, is a client of Brownstein, Hyatt, Farber, and Schreck, which is Bernhardt's previous, he used to lobby for them. So now that his recusal agreement has expired, he could conceivably, I'm speculating here, but he could conceivably help Rocky Mountain Resources with this expansion?
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, the ethics rules are so arcane that they might have even allowed him to do it before if he hadn't worked on that particular issue. But yeah, I think it certainly opens the door wide open for him to do this. And in fact, we found 10 meetings between lobbyists from that former lobbying firm and Interior appointees over the period of David Bernhardt's recusal. And during that period of time, he was either the secretary or the deputy secretary. So just about anybody who works at Interior is in a chain of command that ends with him. And I think we know very little about what kind of information about those meetings with his former lobbying firm made it all the way up to him.
What's the point of having this recusal agreement if it expires while somebody like Bernhardt is still in office? It's sort of like a so what?
Yeah, I think it is probably intended that, well, 2 years is enough time for some of these things to go by and to not become relevant anymore. And I just don't think that really captures the pace at which the federal government moves, which is very slow. And an issue can be just as alive today for a special interest as it was, you know, when David Bernhardt was working for them as a lobbyist.
Chris, I'd like to move on and talk a little bit about the new acting BLM director. His name is William Pendley. What do you know about him?
So he, for a long time, ran an organization that sued the federal government in order to make it easier to develop projects like the one that your community is grappling with. He is an attorney. He has filed any number of lawsuits on behalf of, you know, the same kind of special interests that David Bernhardt represented as a lobbyist. And many of those were to pave the way to make it easier to drill and mine and other kinds of development on public land. And in fact, the same public land that he is now directly responsible for managing as acting director of the Bureau of Land Management.
In terms of William Pendley's appointment, he has been appointed as acting BLM director. Why not just appoint him the BLM director?
Because I think they probably understand that someone as controversial as this couldn't be confirmed by the Senate to, you know, have such a large responsibility over the country's public lands. I mean, he is incredibly controversial and has some very radical ideas that he may be able to pursue more aggressively without having to contend with congressional oversight in an acting capacity. I would also say I think he is at this point, at, by my count, the third or fourth acting director of BLM since the beginning of the Trump administration.
Right.
They haven't nominated a single permanent BLM director yet, and I think just seem to be content to sort of cycle through people in these sort of temporary acting roles.